by Drunken Dumpling in Chico. First created as a food cart, Drunken Dumpling is now a dine-in restaurant serving locally sourced, fresh, handmade Asian fusion comfort food at 1414 Park Avenue, Suite 120, just behind Nobby's. Open 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Details on Facebook, Instagram, and at drunkendumplingchico.com, where we love food, flavor, and our community. And by Pullen Cyclery, providing self-propelled transportation and non-polluting recreation. Pullen's has been serving the Chico community since 1918 at 801 Main Street in downtown Chico and can be reached at 342-1055. On today's show, we have the latest installment of our Bring Back the Arts series featuring an interview with Bob Maness of California Regional Theater, plus an interview with writer Ken Smith about what went down at the Chico City Council meeting on Tuesday, June 1st. In fact, Ken joins us now. Hey, Ken, thanks for being here.
Good. How are you doing, Jason?
Good. So the meeting started a little bit late. What was up?
First, you had the council members didn't take the days until about 6:30, a little bit over a half hour late. Because they were in a closed session meeting before that, discussing some litigation. That happened. And then it was an ambitious agenda as it was with a whole lot of things on it. So had that half hour delay. And then during public comment, there was kind of an outburst from a member of the public that caused Mayor Coolidge to call a brief break at the meeting. And then there was just some other items that were kind of lengthy. For example, there was interviews for commission members.
That's right.
So that had, you know, several members of the public standing up and giving their little pitch about why they should be on the airport commission or the architectural board. So there was a lot of that. So unfortunately, they didn't get to some of the really anticipated items, particularly regarding homelessness, which, of course, is kind of on the top of their stack for the last several months. They were supposed to talk about the shelter crisis declaration.
Sure.
Which they kind of inexplicably, the conservative majority tried to remove about 2 months ago.
That's right.
Only to discover they couldn't. Now that actually expires at the end of the month. So they need to talk about whether they're going to renew it. And so that was one of the most anticipated discussions. Even without homelessness on the agenda or being in items that they were able to reach, still kind of looms, it said, at every meeting. So of the 16 public speakers, I believe 12 spoke on behalf of providing more health, help and resources to the homeless community. And then also there was, at the very end of the meeting, Councilmember Scott Huber moved to agendize a discussion about repealing CITLI.
Interesting.
Which is one of the ordinances that has actually kind of led to this situation with the city of Chico being sued over its treatment of homeless folks. So his goal, he kind of said, was, well, you know, this is one thing we were criticized about in federal court and maybe something that we could do to show good faith, because they're actually due back in court June 11th.
June 11th. That's next week.
Yeah, which is before the next council meeting, before this. So, I mean, there's pretty much not really, there's no venue for them to kind of inform the public of what their plan is before that. So, I guess, they've also been pretty cagey. So, I guess we'll find out in court.
Wow, that's interesting. Well, the other big item that was on those on the agenda and was discussed and took up time at the meeting was commercial cannabis. Where do we end up with that? It got put off.
Yeah, it's been getting put off for quite a while. It was actually the ordinance. It's actually an ordinance and some resolutions just kind of referred to as the cannabis ordinance altogether, actually took effect last October. And at that point, they started the process for folks to begin submitting applications. There were supposed to be four dispensaries, storefront dispensaries. Only one person was able to apply, although there's been several in the wings and, you know, probably getting their applications together back then. One person was able to apply. And then in December, when the new more conservative council was seated, Sean Morgan asked them to go back and take a look at the fee schedule, essentially to ensure that the city is getting some sort of financial benefit from medical marijuana, which on one hand was a hold up and seemed to be a strategic one. But on the other hand, there really was nothing in there because it was kind of dictated by the state's tax laws when it comes to commercial cannabis, which of course benefit the community through sales tax, but not as much as some people actually assume or believe. That needs to be established through another mechanism, which is what they came to, which was discussed last night, a community benefits agreement. So basically it came back in May. They at the last meeting in mid-May, they were supposed to, by this meeting, figure out kind of a model for a CBA and hopefully reopen the application process.
So they did come back at this meeting, and they have approved they've taken some stuff off the plate. They're going to do only three dispensaries. They're not going to, at this time, consider other types of cannabis business like production. They also, with the community benefit agreement, they made some decisions on how that money might be managed?
Yeah. First time regarding the amount of storefront dispensaries, that was at the mid-May meeting, was a motion by Vice Mayor Casey Reynolds to pull back. There was four allowed according to the ordinance. So they moved that back to three, and then, yeah, put a temporary halt on other businesses. Cause there's actually, the ordinance allows for there's not a limit named as far as the number of production, testing, et cetera, cannabis businesses, even dispensaries that aren't storefront facing, you know, so you could open a delivery service or whatever. So there's no cap on those. So it was basically kind of a, it's just they want to walk before they run. They want to see how the process goes for these three storefronts and then allow all those other businesses. Although there was some either confusion and fear that it was an attempt to limit the types of businesses, but that doesn't appear to be what's really happening. So
as of today, people can kind of, or as of yesterday, people could apply to, as of June 2nd, I should say, people could apply for commercial cannabis locations. And so far, there's only one gentleman who started the process. And he spoke at the meeting about some of the challenges with that. I mean, is he right? Is that the timeline? Are we not looking at any commercial cannabis in Chico for more than a year?
It's quite possible. I mean, the city could make some decisions at this point. That's the thing, is the city just needs to make some decisions and give some direction. I mean, they could potentially, I'm not sure how far he is into his, the problem is there's a 45-day wait period on this permit. So,
Got it. So
I don't know how far that Mr. Peterson was into that, but they could choose to start it over again. They could choose to waive it because he's now waited much longer than 45 days.
Yeah, exactly.
Or they could choose to restart it at whatever point he was at. There's just a lot of questions, but yeah, I mean, this is the ordinance as it's written is pretty strict compared to other communities. And it's kind of shocking if you look at just how regulated this is. I mean, the CBA, it could be a great benefit for the community, but it's just other businesses. Like, I mean, you know, when you open a liquor store, you don't have to submit a community benefits plan with how you're going to help the surrounding community. And basically that's kind of what these CBAs look like. They were talking about, applicants, committing to a 1-5% essentially, it wouldn't be called a tax, but, they can choose the number, the applicants, of 1-5%, whatever amount of money that they want to give to the city. And then on top of that, they submit something called a community benefits plan, which will be actual like action items that they'll do. Like it could be install new park benches along this street. It could be, I mean, the ones from other communities are really wide ranging, like even stuff about like their own employees, like you know, we will pay $17 an hour starting. Like,
oh wow,
we'll provide benefits. We will. A lot of them, I was actually kind of fell into a hole reading about CBAs and other communities, and they've been used to advance social justice causes. One that I read about was the dispensaries agreed to fund a study about the effects of gentrification on a neighborhood. And others, they've agreed to provide job training and low cost housing. The kinds of things they were talking more about, kind of mentioned at the meeting or in the staff report, are more things like funding after school programs, funding, you know, grants for arts, for all kinds of things. So this could potentially be a really amazing thing.
So, some positives, both on the, from the commercial cannabis front and on the community benefit front, possibly won't see any of those benefits for a while, but at least it looks like we're pushing things down the road.
Yeah, exactly. And hopefully they continue to move ahead. That's the big thing, but there definitely is a lot of work to be done. I mean, this was just a pasted together sample copy and some samples that now they need to get into the nuts and bolts of how this CBA is going to work. I suspect it'll take some time.
All right. Great, Ken. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, man.
Next up, Bring Back the Arts, a Chico news and review series in which yours truly interviews the leaders of local arts and music venues about their pandemic recovery efforts, and then shares their stories here on this radio show and in the pages of the Chico News and Review. For this episode, the spotlight is on California Regional Theater. Over its 9 years, CRT has made a name for itself by putting on large-scale, professional theater-caliber productions of Broadway musicals, such as Les Miserables and Sweeney Todd, in the Center for the Arts building on the Pleasant Valley High campus. The busy troupe was forced to put those regional shows, as well as its smaller black box productions, on hold due to COVID-19, and its expansive children's theater program, made up of 200 or so students, dialed back its offerings to meet the state requirements. During the downtime, CRT director Bob Manis and company have busied themselves with a new project, First Street Theater, an ambitious remodel of the downtown space vacated by the Blue Room Theater, which was forced to move out as revenues disappeared due to the coronavirus shutdown. The restoration includes opening up the main theater space to reveal the large hall of the original Masonic Lodge and adding a full bar to create an event center that will be used by his company and can be rented out to other producers. With the smell of fresh paint strong in the air, the CR spoke to him in the Transform Theater about the year that was and his hopes for the future. We pick up the interview with Menace describing the disappointment of having to cancel the children's show that was in production when the first pandemic mandates came in.
They were in the middle of Willy Wonka, just having a blast. And when it all hit, our hearts broke.
Oh, I bet.
Because these kids had worked so hard,
of
and
course,
they were only
yeah.
about 1 month out from performance, and there was nothing we could do. So, you know, I think when we sat and waited for it for about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and we realized, and I looked at the staff and I said, we're going to have to cancel the show. We're just not going to be able to do it. All of our hearts sank. And even though that happened, it wasn't but a week before our staff had gotten together and said, what can we do? What's next for us? What is possible? And that's what was important to us, was what was possible.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't about what we had, but what was possible. And what was possible was doing Zoom with the kids. What was possible was doing, as we went further into more less restrictions, doing classes spaced out with masks on, whether it was outside or whether that was inside, it didn't matter. And even though I knew that the regional side was important and we would get to that, we never wanted to stop. Not for the kids' sake. We knew that the kids needed this,
sure.
this outside of their home since they were locked down for so long. And so when we were able to do that, we said these kids and these performers, adult and young, are too precious and too important to CRT to stop.
How did the kids react to the activities that you brought?
They loved it. The kids were excited to start again. The kids were excited to do anything. And even though they had restrictions, they said, we'll do the restrictions. We'll do whatever you say. We just want to be a part of a show. We just want to do something. We want to keep going. And so they were more than happy to be a part of whatever we were doing. And we were more than happy and closely following every restriction the county gave us.
Sure.
It didn't upset us. It wasn't like, oh, man, these restrictions are horrible. I say, look, we can complain about it or we can work with it and we can do what we're called to do, which is love on these kids, love on these performers, and give them somewhere to be.
Did you ever do any sort of online or virtual performances or anything like that?
No, what we did actually was by the time we were ready for our next performance, the COVID stuff had lightened enough that they could do spacing and masks outside. So we actually filmed it. And
oh,
so
nice.
We would do the show, film it, and then we'd give that to the parents.
Oh, good.
And the parents got a chance to see their kids perform. Again, for us, our focus is, our company mission has always been people over project. That's what we do. We believe that if we take care of our people, the project will take care of itself. If you love on your actors at any age, love on your performers at any age, they will work hard for you and give you an excellent performance. And that's what we do.
Did you have to cancel? So you eventually had to cancel your regional show, right?
We postponed. So what we did was for the kids, we canceled Willy Wonka, but then we picked it back up in summer with online and with separation when they allowed us and masks and
sure.
filming. And we did that in summer and then we did that in fall as well as COVID guidelines allowed us to. And the kids were just happy to have somewhere to go. For the regional side, for Black Box, we just shut it down. We don't have to do that. That's okay. We'll wait on that. For the regional side, for us, it was, okay, well, we'll just postpone. We were scheduled to do West Side Story. We
okay.
had the rights for it. We were well into the audition phase of it. And the directors got together and said, look, we got to talk about what's safe for the actors, for the public. And we decided that the best thing for the public and the best thing for the performers was just to postpone at this point. So we postponed West Side Story through the fall, through the spring. And when we got through the spring, I said, let's table it. Let's just talk about it when it's safe. They said, agreed. So we're just waiting until it's a safer time to pick up
sure.
West Side Story. It's such a large performance, a heavy dance performance where you have a lot of breathing and masks. It just didn't feel healthy or safe.
Sure, yeah.
So we decided that might be a good thing to wait on. We have gotten so much support from our community, so much support from our parent patrons. Everyone has just come alongside, donated tickets back, donated anything that was like a registration for the kids, just donated it over
oh,
to
wow.
us without any refund asked for. And that just goes back to how beautiful this community is.
Did you? So you were able to financially weather the, oh, yeah, the year
yeah,
so
yeah.
far?
We were able to financially weather because our community is so supportive.
Sure.
We did get a few grants from the state of California, which was great.
Wonderful.
And we do have, there's a shuttered venues grant that we've applied for. Because it's just the prudent thing to do.
Yeah.
And all of that money, if we get that money, all of that money will go back to the community. We'll go into projects like this, to the kids, wherever it can go to
sure.
feed back to our community. Because the voice of the arts is so important to who we are as a community. And we don't want to shut that down, which brought us to this project, which was interesting. Because when we heard about that, our hearts were grieved. We were so sad because we were losing another voice in the community. A very distinct voice. No one did what they do.
Exactly.
You know, that was their genre. And we need all genres here in Chico. And CRT has been known for their family shows and been known for their Broadway shows. But you need Blue Room. You need theaters like Blue Room to balance the community as best as possible. So when that happened, our hearts were grieved. And we had come down just to see, because they were doing a rummage sale kind of thing. And I'm like, all right, well, let's go down and buy a bunch of stuff. You know, anything we can do, you know, to
yeah,
help
yeah.
them. And we entered into a conversation during that time with the owner. And I said, what are you going to do here? And he's like, well, he goes, are you interested in it for offices? And he didn't know who I was. And I told him, I go, well, what I would like to do is I'd like to help the community. What I want to do is open up an event venue where theater entities like Blue Room, who don't have a home or can't afford a home, can come and perform. And they can rent this space. They can come and perform here. Places like Legacy, who don't have a regular home, can rent the space, come here and perform here.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things, you know, whenever I talked to my board about it, I said, here's the deal. I said, I will make no secret that California Regional Theater owns this facility. However, the key is that that is low, that's a soft light, so to speak. The key is these people have places to go to say we're performing at First Street Theater. So our name doesn't have to be connected to who their identity is so that they can stand on their own and say this is just a facility that we're renting. And that's really important to us. So they have a sense of their own identity,
sure.
of their own voice, and that people can come here and see their shows, and they don't have to have the overhead monthly. You know,
sure.
trying to maintain a facility and do their shows.
So for those who can't see this place right now, explain what you've done here, what the transformation has been.
The transformation has been pretty significant. We've done our best to bring this building back to its original architecture. We've taken out the ceilings everywhere and raised them back up to full height, which is at the highest height is 22 feet. And we've tried to restore some of the beauty that hasn't been seen in a while in the building, including crown moldings, the height of the windows. We've made a larger space in the lobby so it could adequately hold a crowd here for a show. We've got a chance to actually reset the bathrooms for the back, making the lobby larger and the restrooms full size, bringing ADA compliance to the building. We're just excited about all the changes that are happening here. And, of course, as we move forward, we want to help make the building the best it can be. So we're bringing in state-of-the-art lighting, a state-of-the-art sound, a state-of-the-art staging. So much different that we'll actually be able to do a two-story set in the building rather than just a one-story set.
Yeah,
we're
really
excited.
It's impressive. It's impressive looking.
And I appreciate that. And we're working hard to make it impressive for the community. You know, it's all about giving the community an artistic voice again. We don't want to lose this artistic voice
sure.
that was here. And we just want to keep adding back to it and giving back to the community, which is our heart and souls, just to give back to the community in every way that we can.
So during the pandemic, I mean, almost more than any other industry, the arts, especially performing arts, have been hit really hard. Looking at it sort of a wider view, looking at Chico and Butte County area and how we've gone into an unmistakable lull because of all this, what do you think of the chances and the prospects for Chico coming out of this?
Excellent. Excellent. I think it's excellent. It depends on the community's. It depends on the community and what they're willing to do to bring it back. And the people I talk to, the people I know, want it to come back in tremendous ways. And if it's something we all work together towards, then we have an excellent chance at it. If we give up on it, we don't. But that's not the people I'm talking to. The people I'm talking to have a passion in their hearts to bring back not only the arts, but every part of Chico. I've seen residents here in this city go out to dinner just because they need to support their community. I've seen them go out to different places to shop just because they need to give back to their community. That's the heart of Chico. And if Chico has that heart, then our prospects are excellent.
That's cool. Will you still be, in addition to doing productions in this new venue, will you still do them at Pleasant Valley High too?
Of course, yeah. The plan for us is that we will, again, this venue here at First Street is planned to be something that more than our entity uses. We'll put in the first two or three shows. It's going to be really important for us to work out any bugs, any problems that it might have, so I can see them and fix them before I invite a guest in here to do a show and they run into some bugs I didn't know about. So we'll do the first few shows here just to make sure that it's, what's the word I'm looking for? Just to make sure that it's solvent, you know, that it's secure, that it's everything's okay. We'll do that, but then after that, we want to open it up. As far as CRT goes, we're just continuing to expand. Our CRT regional shows will still happen at the Center for the Arts on the Pleasant Valley High School, and those will be very family shows. Mm-hmm. Things like we're looking at bringing Annie in there. We're looking at bringing Little Mermaid in there, the full regional show. Shows that are very family friendly. And then, of course, we have our children's theater that does all of the juniors and brings up kids in the community as an after-school kind of program. But then this entity here, or this venue here, will be able to express more cutting edge.
I know.
Because this will be the place where we can bring that. We have a lot of shows that we're considering right now, and we will have our full slot of season for both this, the Center for the Arts and for here in the next 2 weeks. So we're waiting for licensing to come back. But we're looking at doing shows here like the last 5 years and doing shows that are a little more edgy, you know, that people might enjoy coming to. We really see this venue as an opportunity for a date night, too. We're surrounded by downtown restaurants, bars, nightlife. And then, you know, to come here and make that a part of the nightlife, we're just excited that we can be here.
Right on. That's great. Do you have a, like, what's your dream date to be able to have an opening night here?
Well, we're looking at our set date is September. Okay. So it will be probably the second week in September when we'll open our first show here.
Okay.
We got to get open because we're spending so much money in the facility. It's important we start selling tickets.
Absolutely, yeah.
I love the arts, but I'm also a businessman. So.
For sure, yeah.
So September, we're going to do a show in September. We'll do shows in October. We'll also do shows in December. And so it's just going to roll right out.
Great.
And we'll see what happens from there as we come into, I know we're slotted for CRT to put shows in February and in April and then also in June. But the in-between months is when we'll have opportunities for other people to rent this facility to come in and put on shows for their theater.
What a great prospect. It's a nice little beacon of hope for people right now when they need it.
You know, I hope so. We want to be a part of that beacon. There's a lot of excellent theaters in Chico, who do a great job with the arts, and we just want to join them in that effort of being a voice. You know, that's what's so beautiful about our community is that I see people give money to all the different theaters, that's so important. We've always been of the mind that, you know, high tide raises all boats. And so any time that you can love on any theater, it's going to help all of us.
Yeah.
And so we love the prospect of joining with others to be a part of this.
That's great, man. Great. Thanks.
California Regional Theater will soon be announcing its new season. Visit crtshows.com for updates. Thank you for tuning in to the Chico News and Review, and thank you KZFR 90.1 FM for hosting us each Thursday at 5 p.m. And as always, thank you to Cat Depot for our theme music that opens and closes this show. For more information on the Chico News and Review, including details on the monthly print edition and ways in which you can support community journalism, visit chico.newsreview.com. Take care.
Why don't we begin?